That was great. Oh my God. Good job. Man, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Man, I recognize that right off. Praise the Lord. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. That was really great. God bless you. All right.
I know some of you have some things planned, places to go. You know, I found out a number of years ago that the very worst day for me to take my wife out was Mother's Day. If you haven't planned a reservation somewhere, I'm telling you, I don't know how it is around. Well, it's pretty bad around here too, but man alive. I had to make reservations one Mother's Day at 7:30 in the evening. Can you imagine that? They started early at this particular restaurant. I think they started serving around 10 in the morning, a brunch or something. And they were packed with reservations all the way up into the evening. I thought, my word, this is crazy. So for a number of years, I decided, well, honey, I'm gonna do some grilling or something. Unless you get a day like today where it's going to blow everything off the grill, you know. So I don't know. We'll have to do something. But you probably have things planned, and I know you do. I'm not going to keep you long this morning, but I do want to share a few things with you from God's Word, and I'd like to speak particularly to mothers. And probably if I were to title this, these sentiments, it would be good advice for mothers. Now, you know, that's a dangerous thing to try to give mothers advice because they've been through the fire, you know. They've been through the nitty-gritty of the everyday stuff. And if you didn't take any classes on how to be a mother, you learn real quick once you have a child. It doesn't take you too long to figure a few things out. And then you have several. And, with every child comes a little bit more wisdom. You learn. So it's kind of dangerous to give advice to mothers, I know. But I believe God's Word has some good things for us to consider today on this day that we're honoring motherhood. And I came across an article. This was an actual article that appeared in the Knoxville News Sentinel a few years back. And it went something like this. It said, Police Chief Phil Keith was in the middle of a city council meeting in Knoxville, Tennessee, when his pager beeped. Startled to see that the call was from his mother, he rushed to the press table and phoned her. Phil Keith, are you chewing gum? demanded his mom, who had been watching on cable TV. Yes, ma'am. Well, it looks awful. Spit it out. Keith dutifully removed the gum and went back to his meeting. Well, that's the way it is with mothers. You just can't get away from that watchful care. And sometimes they are called upon for a little correction now and then and other things in our life to help steer us in the right path. But being a mom has its special role in our lives. And all of us, I'm sure, could probably relate a few things. Some of them humorous, some maybe not quite so humorous, but also little anecdotes and things that point to the role that a mother has in bringing us up. In Acts, the 20th chapter, in the 28th verse, there is a portion of scripture here that really it's kind of an interesting one because it's addressed to ministers and leaders in the church, but it's good advice for mothers, and I'd kind of like to use this as a text this morning and then share a few bits from God's Word that may help us understand the importance of the role of each mother and will help you in the future. In Acts 20:28, it says this. It says, be on guard for yourselves. And then it goes on to say, for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So it's obviously something that's being said to the leaders and the leadership of the church, the pastors, others. But I think that opening phrase is a good one for us to consider this morning. And I would challenge each of you moms, be on guard for yourselves. Now, how might you do that? One of the things I would suggest is this. First thing is take a little time for yourself. How many moms find that you have less time for yourself the more children you have? That's kind of the way it goes, right? I am astounded at some of these mothers, they kind of like super moms who have not just one or two children, but go on and have maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We had a waiter the other day in a restaurant, and I think he said, we were talking about various things, and he was quite affable and friendly, and he was telling us, I believe he said he had 5 brothers and 6 sisters or vice versa, or something like that. And I was thinking there, oh my Lord, what a family. Can you imagine? I mean, one for every month of the year. I don't know if they were spread out like that, but you know, the duties and the responsibilities, and you wonder, would a woman like that have any time for herself? But you know, that's good advice. We get so wrapped up sometimes in our responsibility, and we need to be diligent in the things that are important in life, but we need to be reminded of this. We need to sometimes take a little time for ourselves. And in Mark's gospel, the 6th chapter, verse 31, Jesus and the apostles, they had been out busy ministering. And you know what he said? It says, he said to them, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. He told his own disciples that. They were involved in ministry. Say, what can be more important than, you know, ministering the word of God and ministering to the needs of people? And even Jesus said on occasion to his own, he said, you know what? You need to stop and take a rest. We know that Jesus himself would go off for seasons of prayer, where he would kind of be rejuvenated as he spent time with the Father in prayer and meditation. And I know it's difficult. It's not always easy. You say sometimes, why, how in the world can I do that? Well, listen, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, how can you take care of the kids? Really, stop and think about it. Think of the demands that are placed on a mother today. And some of the, in our modern times, there are issues that are coming up today that we never faced when we were kids. And my mom never had to deal with all the stuff going. There are some times when it doesn't have to be a long time. I mean, you don't have to go on a sabbatical from the family, you know, take off for 3 or 4 months or something like that. But the point is, some of you probably feel like you'd like to do that from time to time. But the point is, every month from time, you need, and you know, dads, and husbands, we need to let mom have that little bit of space. I think most moms wouldn't abuse it. They wouldn't be wanting that all the time. But there are times when we just need to let moms have a little bit of time for themselves. Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. That's what Jesus said. Maybe Jesus would say that to somebody here today. You know, you've been going at it. Some people, I've heard this phrase so often. We have this phrase called multitasking. Have you heard that phrase? You know what they're finding out? What a ruse. Stop and think about it. They said, you know, there's no such thing as multitasking, at least not in the way that one does it well. They're finding out that the brain can only handle one thing at a time well. And that when a person supposedly is multitasking, usually it means he's messing up somewhere. You know, and the funny thing is, people pride themselves on being multitaskers, and they're really admitting that they just mess up on things. They don't even know it, perhaps, but they are. You're probably doing a lot of things, but not very well, because they're finding out that it's almost impossible. Physiologically, they're studying the brain and how the brain acts, that it's like people, and we're finding this out because people are going down the road, you know, and they're driving and they're texting at the same time. You know how dangerous that is, and people think, oh, they can do it. They think because they've gotten away with it, and not had an accident yet and killed anybody yet, that they can do it. But they're saying, really, you can't. Your mind is structured such a way that it focuses on one thing, and it's doing that thing. And when you think you're multitasking, especially when you're driving, you've really tuned out things around you, and you are setting yourself up for disaster. Come away for a little while. Take time for yourself. We need that. We need to get rejuvenated. And we need that. The second thing you might consider is this. Proverbs 8:34 says this, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. And from this, and of course, man is using the generic sense here, it means it's having to do also with all mankind. Blessed is the one watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. Maintain your daily quiet time. Now, the word is daily quiet time. Every day has its challenges. And I know some days are busier than others. And I talk to some folk that say they're up at a certain time in the morning. They go lickety-split, and they're busy just for go from one thing to another, one thing to another. And then finally till they kind of just drop into bed at night, and they're so exhausted. You know, daily we need a little bit of quiet time. Now, moms, oftentimes, especially if you're working in the home, you may not be punching a clock somewhere, putting in an hour somewhere that way, but you are working. And it's a tough job to be a mother and to do it well and to do it right. But a quiet time. Blessed is the one who listens to me. And Psalm 77:12 says, I will meditate on thy work and muse on thy deeds. You know, even though you're busy during the day, and there's a lot to keep you busy, especially if you have several children, even though you're busy during the day, you can keep an open Bible nearby and just take advantage of that moment or two. It might be just a moment or two. It might be for a few minutes or whatever, just to flip through it, read a verse or two. And then, as you're going about your other things, you can kind of let that kind of sink in your spirit. And I find myself sometimes I'll read a verse of scripture or I'll be reminded of a verse, and then throughout the day, just off and on, you know, all of a sudden I'll be thinking of that again, and the Lord will be speaking to me through that verse. You could do that. That's something you could do. It may not be a big chunk of time you're taking out of your day, but just a few moments or two. Keep an open Bible there. You see, if it's available, then it's easy just to look over and read the verse or two of scripture and let God use that to speak to your spirit, because we need that. We need that. God speaks to us through the Word. And that's why it's a good thing to have it at hand. You know, there used to be a song years ago talking about the Bible. Dust on the Bible, dust on God's holy word. I don't know, it's kind of a country western tune that they used to sing years ago. And the tragedy of having a Bible is people say, oh yeah, I got a Bible, but they never crack it open. They never open it up, and so dust collects on it. And so they wrote a song about it, and dust on the Bible. It's good to have it open and just... put it in a place, put it in the Psalms or the Proverbs or somewhere where, you know, the Psalms and Proverbs are great, especially the Proverbs, because you can get something very pithy and very meaty, so to speak, and just a verse or two in the Proverbs. They're structured that way. They're structured in a way where you can memorize them, where you can learn something. So if nothing else, just open the Proverbs somewhere and just read a few verses like that. Have that daily quiet time, that time when you can just meditate on the Word of God. Another thing that might be helpful and be perhaps some good advice for mothers in the busyness of the day: serve the Lord with gladness. We see this Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. One of the tragedies I see from time to time is how the enemy has robbed the joy from Christians. And he'll do it by keeping you so busy that you're so focused. And sometimes you get worried over certain things. And it's so easy for moms to do this. You're so focused on the task at hand and what you're having to deal with that the enemy robs you of your joy. He robs you of your joy. Do you know the scripture says, this is how important joy is, that's where our strength comes from. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where our strength, in order for us to live a Christian life, an overcoming life, and not allow things to weigh us down. Why, it's the joy of the Lord that floods our hearts, and even at a moment when it's frustrating, if God just touches you with his joy in a moment, all of a sudden it just kind of dispels all of that, and you can handle the situation and do it in such a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord. And then think again of the influence you're having over your children. And the question could be asked, are your children, those of you who have little ones especially, are your children learning joy from you? You know, they learn a lot from us. You know that. That children learn probably as much from observation as anything else. They observe mommy and daddy. And you can tell them a lot of things, but probably as much or more is learned from observation. It's amazing to see it. So that a little guy, he'll begin to kind of walk and sway his arms like his dad, you know, and they'll start picking up phrases when they're young, and it'll sound just like their mom or an older sibling. They pick up, you see, they observe. They're very observant. Kids pick up as much from observation as they do from your verbal commands, perhaps even more. Chuck Swindoll tells the story about a card. It was a Mother's Day card he came across several years ago. He said, I remember Mother's Day card I saw that was really cute. It was a great big card written in a little child's printing. You know, little first grade printing. You know how it is. In fact, I think we got one of those, brought one home. I'm not sure it's even printed, but it's scribbling. On the front was a little boy with untied sneakers. He had a wagon and toys were everywhere. He had a little cut on his face, and there were smudges all over his card, and it read, "Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day." And inside was the prayer, "God help you if you ever do that again." You see, little ones, I'll tell you, it's amazing. They pick up on stuff. And as much through observation as anything else. And it's true that the words we share, they're important too. I mean, what we say to a child and what we say to others. And we have to be careful. Sometimes in frustration we might say something, then regret it. That's happened to me. You know, I'll say something, I say, "Oh, why did I say that?" You know, didn't have to. And sometimes you say things and they're really not your true feelings. You know, you love your loved ones, you love your kids, and you love your family members, and you don't want to hurt them. And so, you know, that's just a little suggestion. Maybe, but it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Those things are less likely to happen when you're serving the Lord with a happy heart, with a glad heart. Let the joy of the Lord fill your life, so much so that just being around you, the kids just feel good being around you because they feel the love of Jesus, the joy of the Lord. Sometimes facial expressions and scowls and things, and we get so focused. That's the way it is when you're an adult. Sometimes we get focused on things, don't we? And we're so focused on it that we don't realize the way we're coming across. And you might have someone say something to you one time, "Well, why? What's wrong? What's going on?" And there's nothing that you think is really wrong, but what's happened is people are reading the visual things that you're giving in your demeanor. And so they're picking up. You're communicating through your actions, through your demeanor. And so they're assuming things, and you're communicating things that sometimes to a child they can take on, and they can hold on to in their little hearts and lives, and it can affect them, not always in a beneficial way. Serve the Lord with gladness. Are your children learning joy from you? And then in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says this. Another suggestion, good advice for moms, good advice really for all of us. Trust God with the results. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Notice that the toil that's not in vain is that toil that's in the Lord. The things that you're doing for Jesus' sake, the things that you're doing, and I'll tell you, sometimes there are a lot of things that I've done over the course of time and it wasn't always something I wanted to do. We have a lot of people nowadays that just want to do what they want to do. If they like it, they'll do it. But you know, I found out in living for the Lord, and sometimes God calls me to do a lot of stuff, not just a little, a lot of stuff that I don't really particularly like to do, but I just do it because I know it's right. I know God wants it to be done. And so I do it, and I try to do it with a thankful and joyful heart because I know that's the best way to serve the Lord. And you find that in the walk of the Lord. We have a lot of people, they got this idea, well, hey, if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. And that's kind of crept into the church sometimes. And we've kind of lost that idea that, listen, this is the work of the Lord. I'm doing this for Jesus' sake. It's not just for me. I'm not doing this because I like to do it, but I'm doing it because it's the right thing, because it's what I should do. And so that's why I'm doing it. You know, I think we need to get back to perhaps that attitude, that more of us should see our lives that way. That we're serving the Lord and we do what he wants us to. Sometimes it's a wonderful thing that we get a lot of pleasure out of, but sometimes, you know, God asks us to do some things and it's really not real pleasant, but you do it because, hey, you know, it's got to be done. Someone's got to do it and the Lord is going to be glorified through it. So we go ahead and we do it, and we do it with the right attitude and we bless others by doing that. Again, remember that, especially as a mom in the home, those little eyes are watching you. Maybe something has been given to you to do. Maybe ministry, something having to do with ministry. And if you're kind of frustrated with it and going on about it, what do you think that's communicating to the little ones when it comes to the work of the Lord? Well, mommy's doing this, you know, for this or that or for the church or whatever. And then they get that attitude from you. You're not radiating the love of Christ. And little ones see that. Then they communicate, well, I guess then doing stuff for the church, that's not much fun. And I guess that's something I don't want to do. Trust God with the results. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. When you do things for Christ, do it in such a way that your children see the joy of the Lord in you, and realize that the work of the Lord is one of the most important things in life. Don't be someone that always has to have their way. Don't be someone who always favors just something that they want to do, but be willing to be used of God wherever He calls you. And let that lesson be passed on to your children, that the work of Christ is some of the most important work you'll ever do. There are other things in life you can do, but when all is said and done, the only thing that's going to last is what you do for the Lord. And in your families, when you are ministering to the needs of your family, you can radiate the personality of Christ through your deeds. That can radiate and touch those little lives that'll make a difference for eternity. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, but I believe that if you'll take a little time for yourself, if you'll maintain your daily quiet time, if you'll serve the Lord with gladness in all you do, and then trust God with results, there are some things that we have no control over. That comes to a point, you know, we pray about certain things, especially over our family, and we ask God for certain things. And you may not see the results right away, but you need to trust that God hears your prayer, and you need to leave it with God. You need to trust Him that, Lord, I prayed about this, and I'm going to believe that you're going to work things out, and leave it in God's hands. Know that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Know that what you're doing for Christ is with the right motives, with the right purpose in mind, and believe that God somehow is going to bring a harvest out of it. I trust that all today, especially all the moms, will realize that you have a very special place. Motherhood is not something that we should look upon as just being arduous and difficult. It's really a very special role that you play. The influence that you have on your children is perhaps the greatest they will ever have in their young lives growing up. There'll be some other people that will influence them, but you probably have more influence even than the fathers have because of the fact that you're with your children, especially in the young ages, so much of the time. They're going to turn out a certain way one day. My prayer is that they will rise up and call you blessed. That's my prayer. That you will face the challenges of your responsibilities, the challenges of life that you have today, and you'll do it in such a way that the presence of Jesus will be so evident in your life that your children will know that you are blessed of God, that you love God, and that they in turn then, that they'll love God because they saw it in their mother. They saw the love for God in their mother. How many of us think of those mother's prayers? Do you have a praying mother? I've had a praying mom for years, since I was a child. I remember she would come into my room at night oftentimes and pray with me before I went to bed, before I went to sleep. And she'd kneel at my bedside and we'd pray together. I remember a few times when I'd be worried about something or I'd be frightened about something. Who was there? It was my mom that was there to soothe my fears and to calm me and to pray for me. And that stood me well through the years. And you know, my mother, she's 92, she's still praying for me. I'll call her up a little bit later today, wish her a happy Mother's Day. And one of the things in our conversation always comes, she said, well, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. She never ceases to tell me that. And you know, that has been a source of strength over the years, to know that your mother is praying for you, that your mother's on your side. She's rooting for you. And keep that in mind. As you rear your children, may they have that vivid impression indelibly upon their hearts and minds that my mom loved God and my mom prayed for me. My mom cared for me and she showed me the love of God. I know the love of God because I saw it in my mother's love. Would you bow your hearts in prayer? Jesus, there are some responsibilities we have in life that are important, but there's not one that's really more important for many of the ladies here who are mothers than that of motherhood and the way that they rear their children. And it's not real easy today. We admit there are some difficult times we face because of the days in which we live. And I pray for each mother here, oh God, that you would help them. Lord, help them in the various activities, the daily routine. I pray that you'll bring joy. Some of them perhaps are not experiencing the joy of the Lord the way you want them to experience it.
God, invade their routine, I pray, with your presence. May they realize that strength comes from the joy that you give. And I pray that for every mom here today. And I pray for others that are here. Lord, those of us, who are fathers and husbands and family members, that we will lovingly pray for our mothers and our wives and realize the important role that they fill. I pray, Lord, that your presence will be in every home. We often remark how it's important to keep Christ at the center of our homes, and if we'll do that, that things just seem to go well with the home. And oftentimes, it's the mother who's the central figure in much of the activity that takes place in the home, and how important it is for her to have that love for you. Oh God, may your blessing be upon every family that's represented here, especially upon the mothers on this, their day, that we honor them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many's glad they had a mother? I can't believe all the hands that are down. Praise the Lord. Thank God. And thank God for godly mothers. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Keep the various announcements in mind. There's no evening services or ministries tonight. Number have, I know, special plans, so no ministries here tonight. There are activities, though, through this week, and you'll see them in the bulletin, so just read through that, and let's just enjoy the day with our families and with our moms that we're honoring, and let's look forward to the week before us as opportunities that God's going to give us to minister for him. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your presence here today. Now I ask your blessing upon every family represented here, each individual member. May they feel your presence. May they know they've been in the house of the Lord this day. Lead and guide them into green pastures of blessing, I ask, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day, a great Mother's Day. Amen.